This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and ideas for becoming happier, healthier, and more productive. This week we'll talk about why you should imitate a spiritual master and why it's a good idea to track any behavior that you're trying to change. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. With me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And many people have asked, who's older, who's younger? I'm 5 years older, but I call her my sister the sage because she's so brilliant.
Well, Gretch, thank you for that title. I don't think a lot of people would disagree with that, but I will take it. You know, at the beginning of most episodes, we like to update listeners on sort of how we're doing with our various happiness
initiatives.
Yeah. And today we're going to hear from our producer, Henry Malofsky, who you hear us thank at the end of every episode.
Yes.
When he actually has been incorporating some of this into his life. So today we're letting Henry let us know what he's latched on to. So Henry, give us your happiness update.
Yeah.
Well, hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for inviting me.
Here he is.
I'm so glad. Yay. I'm allowed to be on this side of the wall. Okay, yeah. So there are three things. I mean, I probably do all your things like more than anyone should.
There you go. listen to
you.
You
are a captive audience.
Yeah, I listen to you guys a lot, and I love it. The first one is stop reading that book, which you guys just did recently.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as you said it, I was reading this book. It was a Dave Eggers book called What is the What? And it's so sad. And it's a beautiful book. It's really good. But kind of like Elizabeth with The Goldfinch.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love the book, I never wanted to open it.
Right.
It was really sad. And so I never did. And all these other books that I wanted to read had to wait. And so I stopped right away as soon as you guys said that, and now I'm reading a lot more, and I'm like back in that mode where I like can't wait to get on the subway so I can open my book.
Oh, that's great.
It's good. Yeah. Thank
excellent.
You guys.
Excellent.
Good for you, Henry.
Another one is the warm hellos and goodbyes.
Oh, yeah.
Which was another early one you guys did. I started working at this office pretty much when you guys started doing the podcast,
yes.
So I'm still pretty new.
I remember
here.
That day. Yes. Yeah. You and I were both kind of like looked <Uh-oh>. Like
what are we doing?
Yeah, a little confused.
Yeah, and so offices are such a good place to do the hellos and goodbyes because the barrier for entry of like a warm hello is so low in an office because everyone's so grumpy and tired in the morning that you can, and I work in a great happy office, but if you just do like even the slightest warm hello, it's to great effect. So that one's been really helpful.
Oh, good.
And then the third one I wanted to mention that I did once was the power of envy.
You guys identifying who you envy.
Yeah, exactly. And I was on this long car ride with my girlfriend right when that episode came out, and we were listening to the episode, and we just started talking about it between the two of us and getting deep into when we were kids and then in our current, we're both in our early 20s, so there's a lot of career envy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought about this one guy who's always, I feel like, one step ahead of me in my job life. And he's a really nice guy.
Which totally is all the great. More annoying.
Yeah, and so I hate him for that. But I always felt like when I had an internship, like he had a really good job. And when I got a job, he had like a better job. He was just always like ahead of me. And what was good about it is he pulled me forward, which was a good motivation.
Right.
But also that like he was confident and like comfortable where he was. And I was like, oh, you're fine. Just relax and enjoy where you are. Your job is okay. You'll get there, whatever. So he was two things. He showed me like what I wanted to be doing and also just showed me that it's all about being confident and comfortable where you are and it's okay.
Well, and part of it is like you see him from the outside, so you're not privy to his like his inner turmoil and doubts and stuff. You're like, that guy's got it made. And you're like, I've got all this stuff.
Maybe he's freaking out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's looking at you thinking the same thing.
No. He's good. I think it's a great car ride activity. So if you ever like need a good question for a car ride, ask people who they've envied.
It's a deep question.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Henry. Excellent.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Now Henry will return to doing what it is he does.
Yes, but we'll hear from him in future episodes because now that we have him in our sights, there's no escape. He can't escape us. He literally cannot escape us.
And Gretch, you'll put up a picture of Henry on the so everyone can see what put the name with the face.
So now he's switching back into the booth, so we'll give him a sec. So Elizabeth, as always, we'll jump in with a suggestion that you can try at home, some little thing that we hope will help make a big difference. And I love this try this at home tip, which is to imitate a spiritual master. And, you know, in the chaos of everyday life, it is easy for us all to lose touch with transcendent values, you know, like the really profound things. And we're happier if we bring those values into our daily lives, but it can be hard to figure out ways to do that. And I love this, try this at home, because I think to imitate a spiritual master really is a really creative, interesting, manageable way to bring in a transcendent value.
So Gretch, I want to hear one, who is your spiritual master and how do you imitate your spiritual master?
So the first thing you have to do is you have to identify your spiritual master. And, you know, it could be someone from history. It could be a religious figure. It could be someone you know. And then to imitate them, you have to learn about them, you know, whether you're going to read books or watch documentaries or study them. And then you have to translate whatever they're teaching into your everyday life, which can be tricky because a lot of times a spiritual master might be in a very different circumstance from you. So that's sort of the general idea of imitating a spiritual master. And I mean, I will talk for a minute about my spiritual master, and I really have to hold myself back because once I get started talking about her, it's a little bit hard for me to stop. So jump in if I'm like going on too long. So my spiritual master, the minute I picked up her spiritual memoir called Story of a Soul, her name is Saint Therese of Lisieux. And the minute I read it, I was like, okay, this is my spiritual master. Because, you know, it's not always obvious who your spiritual master is. The minute I started reading this, I knew. And the thing is, I'm not even Catholic. I had never heard of Saint Therese until I happened through Thomas Merton to come across a reference to her. But when I read this, and I've like gotten crazy studying Saint Therese, I've got a whole gigantic shelf full of books about Saint Therese, biographies and a photo album of her. And I'll post that on the site as well, a picture of all my Saint Therese stuff, my shrine to Saint Therese. But the thing that I love about Saint Therese, she's the saint of like ordinary virtue, like that she was able to be. She's a doctor of the church. She's not even just a saint. She's like a super saint. And she did that by just doing ordinary things with such saintliness. And so she's really about how to meet your everyday life in the right way. And so that really resonates with me. And so I have to read like just this short passage from her memoir. Because what I love about her as a saint is, first of all, she's got a great sense of humor, which you don't expect in a saint.
Yeah.
And she and her things that she talks about are very ordinary. They're very much the kind of things that we all grapple with each day. So as somebody who often works in a library, like on long tables with other people writing next to me, I could really identify with this. Okay, so here's what she writes. For a long time in evening meditation, I was placed in front of a sister who had a strange habit. As soon as the sister arrived, she began making a strange little noise, which resembled the noise one would make when rubbing two shells, one against the other. I was the only one to notice it, because I had extremely sensitive hearing. It would be impossible for me to tell you how much this little noise wearied me. I had a great desire to turn my head and stare at the culprit, who was very certainly unaware of her click. This would be the only way of enlightening her. However, in the bottom of my heart, I felt it was much better to suffer this out of love for God and not to cause the sister any pain. I tried to forget the little noise. Everything was useless. I felt the perspiration inundate me. And so here's this saint breaking out in a sweat because she's so annoyed by this noise that this other nun is making. So here's the thing about a spiritual master. You know, Saint Therese was Catholic. She was French. She was born in 1873. She died at the age of 24 from tuberculosis. She lived a bunch of her life in a cloistered convent with like 20 other nuns. So she and I have nothing in common. And yet she's my spiritual master. And she's the one who, when I read about what she teaches me about myself and how I want to live my life.
Yeah, I have to say, Gretch, as you know, as your sister, it doesn't shock me that you related to someone who's just trying so hard not to snap at somebody.
Yo, right. Yes, that's right. Because that's my big thing. Yes, that's true.
So it makes sense that you related to her and her struggles.
Yeah. Another thing she talks about is like behaving in a friendly way to a nun who she really dislikes. And yeah, it's all about. Yeah, that's true. That's exactly. And that's the thing about a spiritual master is it tells you something about yourself because there's so many people you could choose to be your spiritual master. And the person you choose tells you a lot about yourself. And so, Elizabeth, I will say, who is your spiritual master?
Is it wrong that I think my spiritual master is Barbara Walters?
That's amazing. Why? I love that's that there. See, everybody's would pick someone different. There you go. Barbara Walters. Why is Barbara Walters your spiritual master?
I mean, she's my spiritual master because she's an incredible trailblazer. She's independent.
Yes.
She's incredibly entertaining. I mean, you know that I have an obsession with The View and have since the day it debuted. I've discussed that on this podcast and all to other talk shows as well. I just admire Barbara Walters and I, not that I want to be a newscaster, but I just sort of admire everything about her. Now, I haven't studied her to the degree that you have studied Saint Therese. I mean, I guess I got to watch her every day for, you know, 15 years.
And you read her autobiography, right?
And I read, yes, of course, I read Audition, her autobiography. I listened to it, actually, because, you know, I have to listen to my celebrity autobiographies.
There you go.
I like to hear the voice.
Yeah.
And so Barbara Walters is my spiritual master.
So you identified your spiritual master. You've studied your spiritual master, though it sounds like you could maybe study her more. Like I bet there's documentaries or, you know, interviews on YouTube you could watch. And then the question is, how would you translate what she means to you into your own life? Like for me, you're exactly right. For me, it's about forbearance, a sense of humor, acting out of love, even when it's difficult because a person's being annoying. Mm-hmm. So how would you translate it into your own behavior?
Maybe by not doing the safe thing. I think that I have a fear of going forward in life because, you know, a fear of failure.
Right.
And so I would say maybe I should just move forward, whether it's personally or professionally, without fear, or not without fear. You can have fear and do it anyway.
Right. But just like with The View, where it was like something completely different for her to do.
Right.
And she sort of made it up and it could have been a huge flop.
Exactly. But it wasn't. And so I should know that, you know, I can do something that I've never done before and it can succeed or it can fail. And that's okay too.
Right.
But to just put myself out there.
So let us know if you do try this at home and if you imitate a spiritual master. And who is your spiritual master? I think it's absolutely fascinating to hear who people identify as their spiritual master. So let us know who your spiritual master is and how you have tried to imitate your spiritual master. Tweet us, Facebook us, email us, as always, there'll be a special post on my website, GretchenRubin.com, that'll go with this episode, where you can join the conversation, post your comments, read other people's comments. You can see the shrine to St. Therese, get the link to Audition if you want to read the autobiography, etc.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
So our next segment is the Better Than Before habit strategy. So in my book about how we change our habits better than before, I identify 21 strategies that we can use to make or break our habits. And so we've talked about the strategy of the four tendencies in episode 13 and the strategy of distinctions in episode 14. And this week, it's the strategy of monitoring, which is just the idea that we do a better job of any behavior we're trying to shape if we simply monitor it.
Well, Gretch, you know I am the queen of monitoring.
Yeah.
Because I'm, as I think I've mentioned before, I'm a type 1 diabetic, which means that it's sort of what my blood sugar level is at any given moment is an important thing for me to know.
Right. Right.
So I actually have a monitor. I mean, I literally have a monitor. I have a wireless monitor that attaches to my stomach, and then I have a device that 24/7 reads out what my blood sugar is. Since getting this monitor, my A1C has gone down. That's the sort of number that matters when you're diabetic, has gone down significantly. And it's because at any given moment, I can adjust my insulin, or I can see what I'm doing wrong in my eating and, you know, how it shows up with my numbers.
Well, and here's the interesting thing about monitoring. I think for you've experienced this, and this is generally true, is that even when you're not consciously trying to change, just by monitoring something, people automatically start moving in the right direction. Like if you monitor how much you spend, you tend to spend more wisely. If you monitor what you eat, you tend to eat more healthfully. If you monitor your step, you know, you get a step counter, you tend to move around more. There's something about just knowing what you're doing that helps people sort of behave themselves better. And I know with your monitoring, there were sort of tricks that you might even have subconsciously been using when you were only pricking your finger four times a day that now with this better, more accurate monitoring, you don't do anymore.
Yeah, I would just wait for, I wouldn't test my blood sugar when I thought it was going to be a number I didn't like, so that it wouldn't show up on the monitor, and therefore later on my doctor wouldn't see it.
Ah.
Whereas what I know with this monitor is that there's no hiding from the doctor because he gets all the readouts. Whether I look at it or not, it's being recorded. And in fact, in terms of what you're saying, my doctor's actually said, you know, that people who have the device I have, though, that the more often they look at it throughout the day, the more effective it is, which makes sense.
Ah, but it's interesting because you have found it to be a really powerful tool. But I remember for a long time you resisted it. You didn't. It took you a while to decide to get the monitor.
Yeah. And I think that's because I knew that I wouldn't be able to trick myself or anybody else about the numbers, so it was going to hold me to a higher standard, you know.
And also, I mean, it's attached to your body. I mean, and I think there was something about the idea that you're going to have a machine attached to your body that just, it took you a while to wrap your mind around the fact that, like you just had to accept that.
Yeah.
But you make a good point, which is one of the things that one of the pitfalls of monitoring, and I've certainly caught myself doing this, is that it's a lot more fun to monitor when you think you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, I would carefully, record what time I went to sleep, if I was going to sleep early. But then on the night when you're doing something that is not the behavior that you're trying to do, you sort of forget to monitor yourself. And so it's very tempting to only monitor the positive behavior. But of course, what you really need to be doing is to be tracking all behavior, so you see how often you're messing up or falling short of what you want that behavior to be.
Yeah, I am the person who when I'm losing weight, I weigh myself religiously every single day.
Yeah.
And as soon as I start gaining, I never step on the scale again. And that is that I've got to change that because I know it makes a difference. But I, you know, of course, now I'm in a place where I refuse to get on the scale until I feel like I'm losing weight. So,
and the reason why it's good to make a habit of monitoring is because then you're not deciding every day, oh, should I do this? Oh, should I do that? It just happens automatically because it's a habit. Now, with your monitor, you don't have to decide anything because the device will do it for you. But with something like this, like weighing yourself or writing down what time you go to sleep at night or something, if it's a habit and you just automatically do it, then you're not having to decide to do it. You just go ahead and do it. And once you're monitoring it, you're going to probably do a better job.
Gretch, today our question is from Clara in Colorado.
Hi, ladies. I've been really enjoying your podcast. I just graduated with my master's degree, and I'm about to go through a big period of transition. And I'm wondering if you have any tips on remaining happy through transitions. They're usually full of stress and the unknown. So I'm really struggling with keeping up my demeanor. Thanks so much. Take care.
Well, Gretch, I think the thing to do to stay happy during a transition, one of the things is to remember that the transition is temporary.
Yeah.
So, you know, as stressful as it is, like she's graduating, things are changing, it will be over. Like my writing partner, Sarah, and I, when we're dealing with a really stressful situation, like, you know, we have to do a pitch or something, we'll say to each other, this will be over by dinner. You know, that this period is a temporary period. In that case, it's a period of, you know, 3 hours. In her case, maybe she's dealing with it for 2 months. But 2 months from now, things will be normalized. And that maybe will give her a little bit of relief in the present. And what else?
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. Another one is to really think, well, what are the things that make you happy? You want to stay happy during this transition. So what makes you happy? And how do you make sure that there's room for those things? So like at the top of that list, it's relationships. Relationships make us happy. They make us feel protected and cared for, and they distract us. They give us fun. And so make sure that you have time with your friends, connect with your family. Like really, sometimes when you go through a transition, you just feel like you have to be crossing things off your list all the time. But we really need to take time for those relationships, because that's going to help keep you happier. And also for fun, like what is it that you do for fun? What helps you charge your battery? I mean, I feel like we're all like cell phones that constantly need to be charged into the wall. So if it's going for a bike ride, if it's reading on the couch, if it's watching bad television, if it's cooking, if it's window shopping, whatever it is, make sure that there's time for the things that make you happy, and not to let the transition, the mechanics of a transition overwhelm you.
And I know you think transitions are great because they provide an opportunity for a clean slate. It's like the best time for a habit change, right?
Absolutely. This is and that's a great point. Clara should keep this in mind. Anytime we go through a transition of a relationship, like a new boss or a new sweetheart or a new baby or a new puppy, or transition in circumstance like a new school, a new job, and especially when we move where we live. It turns out that when they look at people who successfully changed a habit, 36% were associated with a physical move. When you go through a transition, the slate is wiped clean. All your old habits are wiped away and new habits can crowd in. But whatever you do right at the beginning is going to be very likely to stick. So when you're going through that transition, think about, well, I would be happier if I exercised. I would be happier if I went to bed at a certain time. I would be happier if, you know, I did certain things in my day, if I built certain habits in. And as soon as when you're going through that transition, try to put them in. And the earlier you put them in and the more consistent you are with them at the beginning, the more they're going to sort of stick and cement. So going through transitions are difficult. But like you say, it's a real opportunity for building better habits that are going to make you happier, healthier, and more productive.
Yeah, I know David Sedaris wrote a whole book about quitting smoking when he moved to Japan, I believe it was.
Oh my gosh, how did I miss that? I'm going to go look that up.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Gretchen, before we get to your happiness demerit this week, we want to announce that as part of our upcoming episode 20, which is going to be all about hearing from the listeners.
Yes.
We're going to include listeners' happiness demerits and gold stars.
Yes.
So everybody, please call in with your happiness demerits and gold stars or post them and describe in a few sentences, you know, as what we've done, what you're doing wrong and what you want to give a gold star to.
Yes. And to make sure that we get it in time, because we want to incorporate a lot of people's demerits and gold stars, or also what you would change in a relationship. We mentioned that in an earlier episode. Submit them by June 24th, so we make sure we have plenty of time to incorporate them. So we cannot wait to hear from everybody. So call, write, post.
Gretch, you're up with a happiness demerit.
Okay, this sounds... I mean, this is something that I do. So I woke up one day and I had this suspicion that I quickly repressed, which was that I had pink eye, because I am susceptible to pink eye. And the way I always, one of my favorite books in the whole world is Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway. And there's a line in there where it says of Clarissa Dalloway, she's talking to somebody on the street and she felt oddly conscious of her hat. And I always think of that when I get sick, because I'm like, it's not that I feel sick exactly. It's just I feel oddly conscious of my stomach. And, you know, usually you don't notice your stomach. So if you're oddly conscious of your stomach, it's like it does not bode well. And so I was thinking, I'm oddly conscious of the outer part of my left eyelid. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I just notice it. I'm oddly conscious of my eyelid. And I know from experience what that means. Now, here I was in New York City on an ordinary day. Could I have easily taken steps at that moment to deal with my pink eye? Yes, I could. And yet what I decided to do was to ignore it, hope for the best, go to LA on Memorial Day weekend for work, and wake up Saturday morning, okay, with the full-on pink eye, which I won't go into it, but you probably know. You know, and there was, I was in LA, it was Memorial Day. Then I had to deal with it.
And so, pink eye.
Yes, I had pink eye. And so it was irrefutable. And so the lesson that I learned from this demerit is face the fact right away. And maybe there was nothing to be done particularly, but I didn't even consciously say, like, now I'm going to think about how I'm going to handle this pink eye. I just did nothing. And it made it much more complicated and logistically troublesome to deal with. Whereas if I had just dealt with it right away, as soon as the problem presented itself. When I was little, I was very puzzled by the proverb, a stitch in time saves nine. Mm-hmm. And now I understand what it is. It's like, if you take a stitch in time, then there's nine stitches you don't have to make. And so that's my demerit, lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
So Elizabeth, take us to a better place with a gold star.
Well, Gretchen, you know, of course, one of my best friends in the whole world, Mindy Wilson.
Oh, I love Mindy. Love her whole family.
Yes. Kansas City. So Mindy is one of our biggest fans, one of our biggest cheerleaders. She listens to every episode. Reads all your books.
I believe we introduced her to podcasts, right? Weren't we the first podcast she listened to?
I believe we were. And now she's an avid podcast listener.
Excellent.
So my gold star is for Mindy because in episode 13, I was talking about how I'm an obliger.
Yes.
Which means that I respond to outer expectation, right?
Yeah. Outer expectations, but struggle to meet inner expectations.
Exactly. And as part of that discussion, I was talking about how I want to cook. You know, I want to learn to cook, start cooking, yet I never cook.
Right.
I mean, never. And so my birthday happened to be the following week, and Mindy very sweetly sent me a Barefoot Contessa cookbook with a note attached saying, Liz, I'm expecting you to cook something and tell me about cooking it. And so...
well played, Mindy. Well played.
Yes. So she got me. She figured out what to do and she got me. So so gold star to Mindy for not just being a friend, but being the sort of friend who will... know me as well as I know myself.
Right.
So I've got to now, I have to admit, I haven't even cracked the cookbook, but of course I have in my mind, I have to cook something and report back to Mindy.
Right. And to us and to me.
And okay. Now, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You're doubly
so
accountable.
I'll have to report back. So Min, thank you. Gold star to you for speaking to the obliger in me.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Imitate a spiritual master and let us know, who did you choose as your spiritual master? I am dying to hear who people choose. And if you imitate your spiritual master, what does that mean for you? And did it work? Did it make you happier? And also, remember, we want to hear about your demerits and gold stars. So call or write or post on my website, describe it in a few sentences, and do it by June 24th so we have plenty of time to work in your comments.
And thank you to our producer, Henry Malofsky, who is also a guest on the show today.
Yes, thank you, Henry.
And also thanks, as always, to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer from Panoply. Please let us know what you think of the show. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This is my real voice. Hello, I'm Bawa Wawa.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.